Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's first quarter 2018 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded May 24th, 2018. With us online today is Mr. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respective company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors, which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various security authorities. A PowerPoint presentation, which is available on Bing's website, www.bingleumi.com, will be used during this conference call. I would now like to turn over the call to Ms. Daphna Golden, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Golden, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call of Bank Leumi's financial statements for Q1 2018. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO, will be presenting the major takeouts from the financial statements. We are also joined today by our colleague, Dr. Gil Bufman, Chief Economist. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website. In addition, you should have a link to the online presentation. I'd now like to turn the call over to Omer.
Thank you, Daphna. Good afternoon, all, and welcome to Leumi's first quarter 2018 conference call. Before getting into the numbers and analysis, please turn to slide three. I would like to start with the main developments related to our business in the first quarter. In Q1, we continued to demonstrate responsible growth, with growth mainly in middle market and real estate. As you know, at the beginning of 2017, we have taken a conscious decision to pace our growth in retail due to the increased risk we have identified in this segment, while growing in less risky segments. Talking about retail, since the beginning of 2018, Pepper has continued to acquire significant amounts of customers, and we are very satisfied with the pace of growth we are seeing. We strongly believe in Pepper's business model, which places the customers in the center, offering them no fees and the best price, while in parallel, allowing us to cut our expenses. Another strategic process we are working on is the establishment of a new operating division, which will combine under one roof all operating functions. By providing a holistic view of the bank's operations, it will enable us to streamline our processes, reduce risks, and further improve our efficiency. The operating division is planned to be up and running in 2019. Regarding capital, during the first quarter, we have successfully increased our capital along with dividend payout of 40%. We also finalized our preparations to start the buyback plan in line with the safe harbor mechanism. With regards to BLUSA, our subsidiary in the U.S., on Tuesday, we announced the closing of the sale of 15% of BLUSA to Endicott and MSD, which reflected a value of approximately $1 billion to BLUSA. We believe that this strategic cooperation will allow BLUSA to expand and be more profitable. We also announced two weeks ago that Leumi Partners signed an agreement to sell Avgol for a pre-tax profit of 118 million shekels. The closing is expected during 2018. As you may recall, the profit of Leumi Partners, our investment banking arm, is not linear throughout the year. In Q1, as in last year, we haven't realized almost any gains from this part of the business. Moving on to slide number 4. ROE was up to 9% from 8.1% in Q1 of 2017. Net income increased by 17% from 622 million shekels to 730 million shekels in Q1 2018. The improvement was driven by several parameters. 1. The net interest income increased by 7%, mainly as a result of the increase in the net interest margin and the credit portfolio. The income was negatively affected at 74 million shekels as a result of the minus 0.3% CPI in the period. The non-interest income was much lower than in the corresponding period, mainly as a result of the depreciation of the shekel against the British pound and the US dollar. I would like to mention that the exchange rates don't have a significant impact on the comprehensive income, but they do impact the net income. With regards to fee and commissions, here revenue increased by 2.7% compared to the corresponding period. 2. The credit loss expenses were 0.19% compared to 0.15% in the corresponding period. The increase was driven mainly by reclassification of restructured debts following implementation of a new IT system which enables us to improve the identification of restructured debts. 3. The expenses decreased by 52 million shekels, mainly due to salary expenses. 4. The tax expenses were relatively low this quarter as a result of the decrease in the corporate tax rate, tax income due to prior years, a tax shield related to selling shares in a subsidiary, and due to a foreign exchange differences, which partially offset the negative impact of the exchange rates on the financing income. These positive impacts were offset by the negative CPI and the depreciation of the shekel, which I mentioned earlier. To sum up, the net income increased to 730 million shekels, 17% higher than Q1 2017. Let's turn to slide number 5. On this slide, we present the main parameters for Q1 2018 compared to Q1 2017. It's very clear that the vast majority of the parameters show a material improvement. I would like to mention that the efficiency ratio, which is lower than the corresponding period, was also affected by the negative CPI and the exchange rate. Let's move on to slide number 6. The net interest income for the first quarter of 2018 amounted to slightly above 2 billion shekels, a 7% increase compared to the corresponding period. The increase in NIM to 2% was mainly driven by mortgages, which are almost a third of our total credit portfolio. The reason for that is that the incremental margin in mortgages is higher than the average margin on the total mortgage portfolio. As I pointed out, both periods were affected by a negative CPI. This is a normal seasonal behavior of the Israeli CPI. However, while in Q1 2017, this negative impact was offset by the appreciation of the shekel, in Q1 2018, these two parameters went the same direction. They both reduced the income. Moving to slide number 7. As a result of our conservative approach to risk, total problem debts decreased by 10% compared to the first quarter of 2017. The NPL decreased to 0.85% from 1.18% in the corresponding period. The credit loss expenses, which I referred to earlier, increased to 0.19%. On slide 8, we show a snapshot of our diverse fee and commission revenues, which were up 2.7% compared to Q1 2017. As shown on the right, the increase is mainly due to higher activity in credit cards. Moving on to the next slide. The operating expenses decreased by 2.5% compared to the corresponding period. Salary expenses decreased by 4.6%. I would like to mention that in the first quarter of 2017, we recorded expenses of 43 million shekels, which are not part of the main cost of business. If we neutralize them, the decrease is moderate. The main reason for that is that the decrease in salary expenses in the bank was offset by higher expenses in its subsidiaries, mainly in Blusa, as a result of increased activity. On slide number 10, we see the evolution of our credit portfolio. The compounded annual growth rate in the last 4 years was about 3%. The growth in the first quarter and also in 2017 was driven mainly by middle market and real estate. In the first quarter, the middle market credit grew by 4.3% and the corporate segment grew by 2.9%, mainly from real estate. Moving on to slide number 11. At the end of March 2018, deposits amounted to 362 billion shekels, up 6% from the 342 million recorded at the end of Q1 2017. The loan-to-deposit ratio, which reached 75%, reflects a clear trend of a strong liquidity ratio. And the pie chart on the right shows the diversity of our deposits. Let's continue to slide number 12. Our capital increased in March 2018 to 33.6 billion shekels, reflecting a Tier 1 adequacy ratio of 11.11%. The quarterly dividend for the first quarter was almost 300 million shekels, reflecting a 3.4% annual dividend yield. Regarding the buyback plan, we are now ready to start carrying out the buyback plan after finalizing all needed as per the safe harbor mechanism. As such, we intend to start implementing the buyback plan shortly. To conclude, in Q1 we increased our ROE and profitability. We have selectively grown in our credit portfolio, which was led by middle market and real estate. We achieved a strategic agreement in Blusa, which reflects the value of approximately $1 billion to Blusa and will allow us to expand and be more profitable in the U.S. We announced a dividend of almost 300 million shekels, reflecting a 3.4% annual dividend yield, and we are now in a position to start the buyback plan implementation shortly. Looking ahead into 2018, we continue with our preparations for the sale or issuance of Lomikard. We are expecting the 118 million shekels pre-tax profit from the sale of Avgold during the year. And regarding macroeconomic parameters, the CPI since the beginning of the second quarter was a positive 0.7%, and expectations is that it will be above 1% for the entire quarter. Furthermore, since the end of the first quarter to date, the risk-free interest rate has increased materially. This increase will have a positive impact on our pension liabilities. I would like to thank you all for being with us this afternoon, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question-and-answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. I repeat, if you have a question, please press star one. The first question is from Michael Klahr of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, on the corporate credit, which seems to have grown not just at Leumi, but in the system generally after years of declines, at least relative to the capital markets. What can you tell us about that? What's driving it? Maybe also a question for Gil there. And is it putting negative pressure on margins, or is it coming at a constant margin? That's my first question. My second question was related to the loss of the Shufersal credit card club at Leumi card and what the impact might be in the coming quarters. And lastly, I just wanted to know if you could give us the sensitivity of you mentioned the improvement in the risk-free rate and the positive impact that has on equity as a result of the reduction in the liability for the pension fund. What if you could remind us what sensitivity is there from each I don't know 10 basis points or 1% rise in the risk-free rate, what that does to your equity? That's it. Thanks.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for your question. Questions. First, with relate to the increase in the corporate credit, as I pointed out, most of the increase is in real estate. This increase is in a tough competition, also from the not only from the banking competitors, but also from insurance companies. Still, we have the opportunity to choose the transaction which we want to be involved in. And with regard to the margin is more or less the same. There is no decrease in the margin, even though the competition is tough, because we still have a lot of demand and we can choose where we want to be involved and where not. With regard to Shufersal, we expect during the year to sell our holdings in some subsidiaries of Shufersal, which in the short term, I expect in 2018, will generate a one-time profit from selling this company. But in the long term, we will have to create another corporation with other entities. And we work about a few opportunities. And when we have something done, we will report on that. So to sum up this this question, on the short term, we will write a nice profit. I believe it will be through 2018. On the long term, we will have to create another cooperation with other entities. Regarding the effect of the increase in the long-term risk-free rates, unfortunately, in the quarterly financial statement, we didn't publish the sensitivity of increase of let's say 10 basis points on the pension liabilities, but you can calculate it from previous years, And you can find out that every 0.1% can have a material impact on the financial liability. There is some sensitivity in note 8 to the financial statement. The sensitivity is on the accounting effect, and according to this sensitivity, 1% increase in the long-term interest rate decrease the liability by 2.3 billion shekels. But this is just the effect on the accounting. We don't publish in the quarterly financial statement the effect on the regulatory equity.
This is Gil here. In your question, you addressed the possibility that there might be some macro background behind the increase in corporate borrowing. I do think there is some macro background, especially when you look at the latest figures that were published for first quarter GDP in Israel, and they show a rather substantial increase in growth, especially when you focus on the business sector GDP, which in annualized terms grew by 5.2%, which is substantially higher than the rates of growth that we saw in previous years. When trying to focus on where this has been going towards, there was an increase in investments in business sector related vehicles, various automobiles. Also, there is ongoing growth or ongoing activity in the real estate sector, although growth there has been relatively weak, especially in the residential part of things, but still there is a lot of investment that is continuing and going on. So all in all, I do think that it is related to the growth in business sector activity. Other things equal, this is something that we see very clearly in the models. When you have growth in business sector GDP, then that usually means that you're likely to see an increase in demand for corporate credit.
Thanks.
The next question.
That's very helpful. Can I just come back on the Shufersal, the credit card club? I just want to check I understood. So you're talking that you were saying that LumiCard is going to be sold in the coming, I think you said in 2018. Is that right? Did you?
No, not LumiCard. There is a partnership in Shufersal which held the club, which we have 20%, and we have the right to sell this 20% to Shufersal. So when the separate of a Shufersal club from LumiCard is on LumiCard's two effects, the short-term effect and the long-term effect. The long-term effect is that LumiCard will have to create another partnership with other entities. The short-term effect is that LumiCard will record in LumiCard financial statement a one-time profit from selling the 20% in this partnership. That's what I try to.
Okay, but aside from that, I think the Shufersal club I think has 500,000 or had 500,000 customers.
Yeah, around. Yeah, you're right.
Won't the loss of those customers as they move over to Cal, will that not have an impact on your credit card income?
It will have. It will have gradually effect on the income of on the income of LumiCard.
Yeah.
It was 500,000 cards as you mentioned. Now it's less. So it gradually affects the income of LumiCard, but it will take time because it's not in one time. It will take a few months or maybe less. Maybe more.
Okay. And we will see that in your fee income, pressure on your fee income.
You will see it gradually on a fee income, but on the other end, as I mentioned, we are working on creating another partnership with other entities.
Yeah.
Okay. So we expect that the effects of that will be moderate.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The next question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Maybe just a quick follow-up on Michael's one regarding the credit growth to corporate. Can we talk about the potential increase in loan loss provision in the future? I guess when we looked in the past few years, they significantly improved how you kind of de-emphasize corporate credit. So is there a risk that we might be going on an upward trend as you emphasize back into corporate?
Okay. We believe that from risk point of view, the increase in the corporate, because it's concentrated in the real estate, is not accompanied with an increase in the risk involved. We very selectively choose where to put our money in the real estate, and the collateral and most of this credit growth is accompanied with a very good collateral. So we are not expecting an increase in the credit loss expenses regarding this business. But we will have to remember that in previous years, the credit loss expenses related to corporate were affected materially by collections from a very old year, and those collections decreased year after year. So from this point of view, because the collections decrease year to year, it will affect negatively the credit loss expenses.
Okay, that's helpful. And maybe just the last one on Pepper. You mentioned the good traction you're seeing there. Can you share any KPIs in terms of how many clients you signed up? And also last quarter you mentioned that you didn't have enough sales team because of the success, you know, higher than expected success. So have you hired more staff in order to kind of fulfill the demand you're seeing?
Well, unfortunately, I can't. We are not publishing figures related especially for Pepper. Pepper is part of our retail business. The only thing I can say that we were surprised to find that the majority part of the customers who joined Pepper are not from Bank Leumi, which means from our point of view that the business model is working, because customers not only from Leumi, from all the other banks join Pepper. They want not only the new experience of Pepper, but they want the model which they pay zero fees on their operation. And from our point of view, as I mentioned in the presentation, it's also worthwhile because it helps us to cut our expenses.
Yeah, no, I get the business plan. It's just harder for us to evaluate if it's really successful if we don't really know how many subscribers join. So maybe in the future you will want to give more color on that. But I appreciate that you don't want to do it yet. Thanks. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Tavi.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Leumi's first quarter 2018 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.